There's a very interesting svarno right away in the beginning of the Sedra. Baloschas haneros el mul pnei haminora yoiru shiva haneros. The svarno says what's talking about. The menorah has seven branches. And the candles, the wicks, all point towards the center, which is the pnei haminora. The face of the menorah is the middle one. And then there's branches. There's the menorah itself, that's the pnei haminora, that's the middle stand with the candle on top, and there's three branches to the right, three branches to the left, and all the wicks face towards the center. But that's not what it says in the Torah. It says, El mul pnei haminora yo'iru shiva saneros. Towards the center will light all seven candles. But it's not true. Six candles face towards the center. The center is the center. So why does it say Yoiru Shiva Saneros? Says the Sfarno, what it means is the following. The center represents the light of Hashem, the Or Hashem that's supposed to permeate the world, okay, which is basically the light of Torah. The three branches to the right are the people who devote themselves to Torah completely. Torosom Umnosom. That's one section of Klal Yisrael. The three branches to the left are the people who combine Torah with a worldly occupation. Not Torosom Umnosom. And when they all face the center and do what they're doing for the sake of disseminating God's Torah to the world, then the light of God comes from all of them together. That's what the Sfarno says. Okay. So the Sfarno himself says, how does that work? Because the people who are involved in earning a living support the people who are learning Torah all the time. So therefore, the light of Torah comes from all of them, these supporting those that are learning all the time, and together the Or Hashem comes into the world. Okay, now, Rabbi Cooperman, in his, what's it called, the comments to the Sfarno, says that this echoes what it says in the Gemara, that there's two different opinions of how a person has to be in this world, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael, right? Rabbi Yishmael says that the ideal is that a person should balance his time between earning a living and learning Torah. And if he does it properly, then even the time that he's earning a living is considered like he's learning Torah. Because he's doing it for the sake of being able to learn Torah. And it's therefore, it's all a preparation for learning Torah. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, no, the ideal is that a person should devote himself totally to Torah, and if he's on the right level, other people will support him. Goyim will support the Jewish people and will all learn Torah. But if not, it's like Levi, the Rambam compares it to the Leviim and Kohanim, that they were the army of the Ribono Shel Olam, and they were dedicated totally to Torah, and they were supported by the rest of the Jewish people. That's, the Gemara says, what's the halacha? Is it like Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai? The Gemara says, Harbi Asu Ke Rabbi Shmuel V'Asu B'Yodam. Many people did like Rabbi Shmuel and they were successful. And many people did like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and they weren't successful. Says the Briska Rav, that's the halacha. For the rabbin, for the many, you have to do like Rabbi Shmuel. You have to earn a living and learn Torah together. But, and many people can't do that. That can't be for the rabbin. The individuals, there are, the miut, they can do like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, person who's capable, can be part of Shevet Levi. Now, how much is the majority and the individuals? So if we can look from the tribes. There were two tribes, Yisachar and Levi, that were dedicated totally to Torah, and the other 10 tribes had professions. Had the business, whatever, what's it called, worldly occupations, had occupations. So it would be 2 tribes to 10 tribes, right? Or a miut to the rov, a minority to the majority, right? Let me just, in parentheses or brackets, mention the following. So you're probably thinking, well, today, there's a lot more than that, people sitting and learning in Kolel or whatever, but we're not talking about a majority and minority of frum Jews. We're talking minority and majority of Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, today, out of the, I don't know how many million Jews are in the world, 15 million, something like that, whatever it is, Kein Yirbu, right? I would imagine that a majority of them don't know they're Jewish, don't know what it means to be Jewish. Out of that minority that's left, that at least have some kind of Judaism, a small minority of that are really from Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. Out of that minority of a minority, there are very few that reach the level where they could be devoted totally to Torah. So we're talking about a minority of a minority of a minority to begin with. Now, if out of that minority of a minority, minority, only the minority are going to be devoted to Torah, then where is the Torah leaders going to come from? So therefore, there has to be a lot of people, maybe not as many as there are, but maybe, what's it called, maybe not everybody who is supposedly sitting and learning should be there, and maybe people who are not should be there, but in any case, whatever it is, that's a practical problem. But in any case, not that there's, you know, an overabundance of people dedicated to Torah the whole time, more than one or two shvatim. But in any case, so Rabbi Cooper points out, according to the Sfarno, it's equal, right? There's three branches to the left. The masmilim, those are people who deal with Torah with their left hand, not totally. Their right hand is the main thing. And the people who deal with the Torah with like their right hand, that the Torah is Torasso and Nosso. She says, it seems on the Sfarno that they're equal. That's his comment. I don't think that's the case. We're talking about the light of God coming from the candles. Ner le'echad, ner le'meah. There's no proof of how many people are involved in the three candles to the right and the three flames to the right and the left. That has nothing to do with numbers. What same flame can represent one person or a million people. We're talking about the branches. I think they represent something else. They represent the three kinds of people who are devoted totally to Torah. And opposite that, there are three ways that the light of Hashem comes from the people who are not devoted totally to Torah. The Sfarno mentions one of them, people who support people learning Torah. So their support translates into Torah. It's also the light of Hashem. But there's two other ways, I think. Not just support. Because there's light of Torah, too. Not just their monetary support. There's their own Torah, which we'll get to in a second. But let's see how it works out that there's three kinds. It has nothing to do with number. It's type. Three types on this side, three types on that side. Firstly, on the side of people who are devoted totally to Torah, there's Kohanim and Levim, or anybody who wants to be like a Levi, like the Rambam says. Now, they are supported by the Jewish people. They don't have to make any deals with anybody. God commands the Jewish people to support them. Why? Because they are not only totally involved in Torah, they are subservient to the Jewish people. They serve, they're God's army, and they serve the Jewish people, the Kohanim and Levim, right? They don't take the initiative on their own to learn what they want. They have to learn what will serve the Jewish people. And the Beis Hamikdash, the Levim, to the Kohanim, and so on. They're called God's army. When God needs someone to minister to the Jewish people, they minister to the Jewish people. So therefore, the Jewish people support them. Then there's Shevet Yisachar. Shevet Yisachar does not get supported automatically by the Jewish people. He has to make a deal with Zvulun. Zvulun supports Yisachar and shares the reward that Yisachar does. Right? Yisachar and Zvulun. It's a business partnership. Right? You support us, we'll learn, and we'll split the benefit of the learning, just like we split the benefit of your business adventures, or your salary. So that's the second kind, Yisachar and Zvulun. Then there's a third kind. And this is also considered somebody who is involved in Torah completely. Somebody who works, but only works the minimum to be able to survive. He doesn't earn a penny more than he needs to survive. He doesn't get supported by anybody else. Today, that kemat doesn't exist, because it's not possible. Just in this kind of society we live in, you can't work. Either you work or you don't work. Right? But to work to survive, you won't survive. It's almost impossible. It's possible maybe when a person has his own little garden and he raises his own food and he sewed his own clothing,
and then you could work for exactly, Hillel did that. Hillel earned a certain amount, half he gave for the Beis Medrash, half he used for his family's food supplement, and he learned all the time. Hillel was considered somebody who was Torah Tel Nasa. So it says that somebody who works only Kedei Chaya is considered whatever, okay, so that's considered somebody who's Torah Tel Nasa. He's also part of that group. Right? The time that he works is negligible. So those are the three to the right. How about the three to the left? Where's the light of Torah? So you have the opposite. You have the Zvulons together with the Yisachar, right? So the Zvulons on the other side, right? Meaning, you have somebody who doesn't only work in order that he should be able to learn, but he works enough to support other people. So he's not living on the minimum. He's not making Torah with Derech Eretz equal. He's making just the opposite. He works more than he learns. Right? He learns a minimal amount of time and works a maximum amount of time. That kind of person, in order to justify that, has to support people learning Torah. Because then his working time, which is the majority of his life, becomes like Torah because it supports people learning Torah. That's one kind. Then there's the person who works more than he needs to exist, but he works part-time and learns part-time. Okay? He works half a day, learns half a day. So that kind of person, what's it called, is not working most of the time, not working a minimal amount of time, but he shares his working with his learning to live a comfortable existence. Why? Because that kind of person, by working, will be able to learn. He's not the kind of person who can live a meager existence. He wouldn't be able to learn. He can't exist like that. So he needs to live a comfortable existence, and with a comfortable existence, he'll be able to learn. So that kind of person is Yafa Tamba Torah and Derech Eretz. The Derech Eretz is a good portion. They're equal. Tamba Torah and Derech Eretz. There, the person's learning is also significant, right? He's also learning half a day. And he's, with the work that he does is to enable him to learn. He works half a day so he can learn half a day. If he wouldn't work the half a day, he couldn't learn the half a day. So his working is also part of his own learning. Not to support other people. He's not on the level to support other people. He's supporting himself so he'll be able to learn a significant amount of time. That's the second kind. Then there is the third thing. And that is, aside from the actual learning that somebody does, minimal time, half time, there's what's called koveya itim la Torah. Everybody has to set times for learning. In addition to the time that you can eke out to learn or whatever, you have to have a set time to learn Torah. Koveya itim la Torah. Okay? And that's the third kind. I was thinking, and this is where it gets a little rough, and it's going to be hard to follow, that the seven branches of the menorah correspond to the 7 days of the week. And if you think about it, everything I just told you now is represented by a different day of the week. For instance, the first day of the week was Yom Echad, was the day that God created what? He was alone and he created light. So that's the Or Hashem. That's what the Sfarno says, is the middle of the menorah that corresponds to the first day. That's the light of God alone. That's the body of the menorah. Now you have the other 6 days. So you have like this. The side to the right is represented by the third day, the sixth day, and the seventh day. I'll tell you why. Because those are the days that Maaser Ani, the third, the sixth year, and the seventh year of Shemitah, where people are supported, right, by other people. So the people who are supported are represented on the third, the sixth, and the seventh day. Right, the seventh day of Shemitah is the Kohanim and Levim. They are totally, what's it called, set aside for God, like the Shemitah year is. Then the third year and the sixth year, you get Maaser Ani. And the Meshech Chochma points out that on those 2 days, it says Ki Tov twice. Because it's not just good enough to be good for yourself, you have to be good for others too. So you get Maaser Ani. That's the third and the sixth year. Now, if you think what was created on those days, right, so the Kohanim and Levim is represented by Shabbos. Right? They're Kodesh Kodashim Shabbos. Now, what was created on the sixth day? Adam and Behemoth. Okay? That is like the, what's it called? Just like the animals
were created to serve man, Zvulun and Yisachar. Yisachar is like Adam, and the Zvulun was created to serve the Yisachar. So the Yisachars are the sixth day of the week. The third day of the week, what was created on the third day? The dry land and vegetation. Okay? The vegetables take from the ground just what they need to exist. That's how a vegetable grows from the ground. It takes the minerals from the ground, exactly what it needs to exist. That's like the people who work exactly what they need to do to exist. They're also considered learning all the time. So the third, sixth, and seventh day represent the Kohanim, the Yisachars, and the people who are working just to exist. Now, how about the other? What that leaves the second, the fourth, and the fifth day. So the second day, the Rabbeinu Shem created the Rakia, which separates between the upper waters, Ruchnius, the spiritual world, and the physical world, equal. Down is the physical world, up, those are the people who, what's it called, who divide their time equally between Torah and earning a living. Okay? Then there is the fourth day of the week. Then the fifth day of the week, that's when birds and fish were created to give praise to God. The people use the physical world, the birds and the fish, and there's a ribui. Birds and fish are something that is a lot. Those are the people, the Zvulons. It's the other side of the coin of the Yisachar. The people who increase their physical, material part in the world, but they do it to support people who are learning. And then there's the fourth day. What's the fourth day? Sun, the moon, and the stars. Kviyas itim la Torah. That's time. People who set aside, right, both of these people have to set aside set times for learning. So that is the symbolism, in my estimation, of the seven kamim. And the way the Sfarno says, the three to the right, the three kinds of people who are devoted to Torah completely, and the three kinds of people who combine Torah with a worldly occupation, the light of God comes from all of them. It comes from the Torah of the people who divide their time between Torah and, it obviously comes from the people who are devoted to Torah completely. But it also comes from the people who divide their time. From their Torah is half the time. It comes from the people who support other people learning Torah, and it also comes from the special Torah that the people who devote themselves all the time to Torah don't have. And that's koveya itim la Torah. To take time and devote it to Torah, even though you're doing other things. That's something special. Okay? Now what is that special? It says that, on the one hand it says that when a person comes to the final judgment, he's asked, Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna, did you deal in business honestly? And then kavata itim l'Torah, did you set aside set times for learning? Yet the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the first din of a person is divrei Torah. So Tosha says, here it seems that the first din is on your business, and only after that Torah. So the Marsha answers the question, and the Marsha says the following, two kinds of people. There are people whose whole focus is Torah. Their judgment first is going to be on Torah. There are people, though, that combine Torah with a worldly occupation. They're first going to be asked, Dosasav and Asata Be'emuna. Did you deal in business with emuna, with faith and honesty? Emuna can mean both. Were you faithful and were you honest? Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. That's one. And it could be, that's why he says nasasa v'nasata. There's two extras to business, taking and giving. Right? Did you give in business honestly? And when you took, did you take it with faith, or did you think that it was kochivo tzimyodi? So that's nasata v'nasasa be'emuna, faithfully and honestly, on both ends of the scale of taking and giving. The idea, so the verse is like this, that somebody who learns Torah all the time, he's capable of devoting himself totally to Torah, and he sets up times for learning, meaning I'm learning now and not some other time, that's mefer bris, that abrogates the covenant with God. Because the covenant is all the time, not just set times. Somebody who works and has other things that he has to take care of, if he sets time for Torah, that's a tremendous thing. Why? Because it shows the following. What does it mean to set a time for Torah? It means that morning and evening, there are different opinions when this should be. Some say it should be immediately after you daven in the morning, you go to learn. And at night, before you daven Maariv, you should learn. Before, after Shacharis and before Maariv. Okay? Others say, and that, what's the idea? The idea is when you daven, you're davening basically for needs of this world. That's mostly daven. Mostly daven. Davening is called chayisha, temporal living. You daven for temporal things. Torah is beyond this world. So if you preface your davening at night with learning Torah, and you end your davening in the morning with learning Torah, you show that all of your davening for the temporal things is for the sake of Torah. I need to be able to exist in this world to be able to learn Torah. So being koveya itim, making a set time, and Ramos is in a set place. The idea over here is set. That you don't give it up. Unless something is pikuach nefesh. Those times are sacred. Which shows that you're willing to give up time that you could be involved in earning a living for sake of Torah. So you show that the Torah, in at least part of your day, is the main thing. And even if something, a big deal comes up, you'll forego it because this is your time for learning. So therefore the Haflah says the word koveya can mean to set. Koveya has another meaning. The Gemara says, what's it called, kova means to steal. Right? To steal. B'mekiva anucha. How do we steal from you? Because you didn't give your miser and your truma, you stole from God. It's pasuk. So the word kava can mean to steal. It means you have to steal away time. People don't have time. They're busy. Right? When you're earning a living, there's no day and night. There's, so this comes up, that comes up. There's always something. Even if you're not working, you work from 9 to 5, but there's always things that come before and after they have to take care of in order to be able to get to your work. So you have to steal away time from learning. The Chafetz Chaim says even more. You have to make yourself like you're dead. It tells a story of a man getting older, and he decided, you know, if he doesn't start learning now, he's never going to. So, this goes on that pasuk. Right? A person has to consider himself when he's learning Torah like he's dead. So he gives the marshal. So the guy went and he ran a store with his wife, and he's getting older. He decided he's going to spend some time after Shacharis learning. So first day he was 15 minutes late. Next day half. Finally, he's an hour. An hour doesn't show up to the business. His wife got frantic. She thought he probably dropped dead on the way home from shul, and, you know, she searched all the hospitals. She went looking for him. Finally, she finds him in the base medrash. Starts yelling at him, "What are you doing here? The shop is open already for an hour." He said, "And not only that, I thought you were dead." He said, "Okay, let's pretend that I was dead. And you would have found my body somewhere in the street. When you found me, would you have come over to me and said, 'What are you doing over here? The business is open. Get over here. It's an hour already.'" Dead. So just pretend I'm dead, right? And for this hour, I'm not around. Just like you wouldn't scream at my body, "Where am I? The business is waiting. The business is going to have to wait because I'm dead." So for this hour, I'm dead. So that's called koveya itim la Torah. That means that you steal away the time and you make it something that's set. Others say that the kviyas should be at the beginning of the day and the end of the day to show what's the ikkar of your day. How do you start your day? How do you end your day? Or before eating and before sleeping. Because eating and sleeping are the most physical things a person has to do. You have to eat and you have to sleep. Yet, if you learn Torah before you eat and before you sleep, you're showing what the purpose of the eating and the sleeping is all about. And this kviyas itim la-Torah, the minimum, is saying Kriya Shema in the morning and Kriya Shema at night with the intention of doing it for the sake of learning Torah. Why? Because Kriya Shema is Kabbalas Ol Malchu Shamayim. By setting set times for learning, you're accepting the yoke of God's kingdom. It's a yoke. Torah is a yoke. So some people can fill that yoke the whole day and the whole night. Some people can learn more, learn less. But at least every Jew has to set times, at least Kriya Shema, morning and night, and do it for the sake of learning Torah, because that shows that I am accepting the yoke of Torah learning. No matter what, I'm obligated to sometime in the daytime, sometime in the night, even if it's minimal, even if it's one pasuk. That's why we asked that person, right, first, did you deal in business? You had to earn a living, right? You earned a living, okay? Did you earn it with emunah? Did you have faith that God was really providing the living for you? Did you do it honestly, right? And then if we know that you did it like that, then kovata itin l'Torah. Then we're able to know how much time you were koveya l'Torah, if you were really made a kliyas or not. Because if you didn't deal honestly, you thought that you were earning your living. You thought that you were the kochi votsim yodi. You didn't do it honestly. So obviously, you didn't think God was doing it. God wasn't going to reward you for being dishonest. If you were doing it on your own, right, then you weren't really koveya itim la Torah. Then you didn't really think that the Torah was the ikkar, and the whole purpose of earning a living was for the sake of being able to have some time to learn Torah, to live. That's what it says. In ein derech eretz, ein Torah. If you don't work for a living, you won't have Torah. But if there's no Torah, there's no purpose to work for a living. What are you working for? You have to live, right? In lechem, in ein kemach, ein Torah. If you don't have the wherewithal, you can't have Torah. But if you don't have Torah, what's a kemach for? What are you living for? You have to have a purpose to live. So if you're koveya itim l'Torah, you show that this is the purpose. This is the kviyas. Everything else is for the sake of that. Even if I'm working 23 hours and learning 2 minutes. But that's the kliyas, that's what's kavua, that's the ikkar, that's the goal. Everything else is a means to reach that goal. It may take me 23 hours to reach that means, but the goal is those 2 minutes that I'm learning. So how do you, so therefore, first you had to work be'emunah, nasata v'nasasa be'emunah. Then your kliyas itim, la Torah is a real kliyas itim, then it means something. Then kavata itim, it doesn't make a difference how much time quantitatively, but it is the quality that counts. And therefore, the Torah of those people that are devoted all day to Torah, the Torah of the people that learn half a day, the people who support other people learning Torah, that's all very nice. But there's another aspect that even the people who learn all day don't have, that the people who don't learn all the time contribute. That's kviyas itim. That's taking away yourself from your other, things that you're involved in, from your other pursuits, that's what I'm looking for, and stealing away the time for Torah. That's something special that a person who learns all the time doesn't have. He has no other pursuits. So he learns all the time. He had made one point, made a... What?
He says Shema also.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to say it. He doesn't say it as Torah, as Talmud Torah. He says it as Shema. But the person who says it as Talmud Torah has to have Kavanah, the Or Sameach says, that he's doing it the same Talmud Torah, not just for the mitzvah Kriya Shema. So there's something special about the Torah of a Balabas who pulls himself away from his other pursuits, steals time away, and says, this time is holy, and no matter what comes up, I'm learning that time. Be it long or short, but it's set. Morning, evening, set time, that is their contribution to the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that keeps the world going, right? In addition to the people who learn all the time, and the people who learn a good portion of time, and the people who support other people learning, this concept of Kviyas Itim LaTorah adds and makes complete the Or Hashem, the light of the Rabban Mishal. Came out better than I thought it was. Okay.
Now I understand it. Okay. Well, thank you for being the guinea pig, sounding board, whatever they be. What? Right. Okay, now let's get to something else, maybe a little more down to earth. Okay. In the middle of this sedra is something that appears only in this sedra and no other place in the Torah. And that is brackets. Upside down, backwards, nun. That set aside two psukim. Vayihi ben Sa'aron vayom Moshe, and kuma, what's it called, Venucha Yoma Shuv Hashem, two psukim. So, the Gemara gives different reasons why these two psukim are set off by brackets. One is that the Torah wanted to tell us this is a book by itself.
These two sentences form a book by themselves. There's seven books in the Torah, not five. Chatz v'amudei Hashiva, the Rabbanu Shlomo made seven pillars of Torah. The seven books are Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, till these two sentences, then these two sentences, then from after these two sentences till the end of Bamidbar, and Devarim. Seven books. And one book is 85 letters. Says the Marsha, why is it set off by nuns? Because nun represents the 50 gates of wisdom. And all the books of the Torah have 50 gates of wisdom. And they're upside down and backwards because they're hard to reach, to grasp. I might think that only a big book has 50 gates of wisdom, but two sentences, Kamash Malon, even in these two sentences is all the 50 gates of wisdom. That's a Marsha. Then there's another idea. The Gemara says, it's to separate, these two sentences really belong 50 parashiyos earlier, 50 paragraphs earlier, in Bamidbar, not in Baloscha. Why were they put here? To separate Ben Puranios le Puranios. Because the Jewish people did three sins. They ran away from Har Sinai like children running away from school. Then they complained about running to Eretz Yisrael. And then they wanted meat. They desired meat. Three sins in a row. There shouldn't be three sins in a row. God had to put these two sentences here to separate between the sins. Why the nun? Because it's 50 parashios out of place. 50 nun. The Cleocus has a cute part. He says, what did they want? They remembered the fish that they ate in Egypt. And they wanted meat because of the fish. The word for fish in Aramaic is nun. That's why the fish company here is called nun. Right? There's a fish company called nun. Because of that. Nune, right? Nunim are, we say it in the Zmiros on Shabbos. Right? The nune yam or something like that in the Yukari bone, I think. Says nun. Nun is fish. So the sin came because of fish. The other different idea. First of all, why does it have to separate between three sins? What does that mean? Because the Chorah three is a chazaka. But there's an opinion that two is a chazaka. So manifshah. If it had to separate that it shouldn't be three in a row, then why did it separate between one and two, separate between two and three? If the idea is that you only have two in a row, that didn't help. Because it's one and two are not together, but two and three are together. So what is it? Why dafka between the first and the second? So I was thinking the following idea. The Beis Halevi says, and we spoke about this at a different time, but the Beis Halevi says the worst kind of mussar, the first worst kind of rebuke that you can give a person is to tell him that he's a self-contradiction, he's inconsistent. In other words, he brings down the Medrash that, what's it called, that there was a person who didn't know Aleph Beis, and Eliyahu HaNavi said to him, what do you do for a living? And he saw how he could learn to fish, right? Which is interesting, it's looking at that Medrash talk about fishing. So maybe, right? He could learn to fish, but he couldn't learn Aleph Beis. He's a self-contradiction. For this you do have brains, for this you don't have brains. It's not an excuse. Yosef, so the brothers. Ani Yosef. Ha'od Avichai. What was the rebuke? Right, you now want to appeal to what's it called, to beg me to let your little brother go. You think that I'm the king of, you know, the second to the king, and let your little brother go because of how it's going to affect your poor old father. Yeah, but you're inconsistent. Because when you sold me, did you care about your father? So when it's convenient for you, you care about your father. When it's not convenient, you don't. When it's convenient, you use your brains. When it's not convenient, you don't use your brains. Torah, you don't use. For Parnassi, you do use it. And that's the kind of rebuke that the Rebbe should give everybody. Right? You're going to come to Shemayim, the Rebbe says, how come you didn't give tzedakah? So you're going to go through a whole thing, I didn't have enough money, and you know Rebbe Shalom, I just didn't have enough to live on or whatever. God's not going to start giving you a whole thing. Well, you should have given tzedakah anyway, whatever. You know he's going to tell you? Okay, I accept that. But according to my books, on this and this day, you ate in this restaurant, this was the tab, this was the tip. For a guy who didn't have money to give tzedakah, where'd you get the money to eat in the restaurant? You were inconsistent. Right? I didn't have time to learn Torah. Right? I was too busy. Well, according to my records, on this day, you spent an hour on the phone gossiping. If you didn't have time, where'd you get the hour to gossip? The inconsistencies are going to be the rebuke. The letter nun in the Aleph Beis, the Gemara says, is ne'eman, ne'emanis, faithfulness, consistency, right? They were inconsistent. Why was inconsistent?
That's, you had to separate between those two sins. What was the first sin? They ran away from Har Sinai like a child running away from school. Right? They said, they didn't say this actually, but the Alter from Slabodka says that they didn't sigh a sigh of relief. Look, let's get out of here already. We're at Har Sinai, 613 mitzvahs. If we don't get out of here soon, who knows how many more there'll be. So, Baruch Hashem, we're out of here. But when they had to leave Yam Suf, Moshe had to force them, because every second they were taking more and more gold and silver. So, Lechor, you would think that God would have to force them to leave Har Sinai. Let's stay, maybe there'll be another mitzvah. They didn't have to force them. They left willingly. That's called running away from school like a child. So God said, okay, you're running? You're running away from Har Sinai? Let's run to Eretz Yisrael. So he kept them going 3 days straight to get to Eretz Yisrael quickly. And then they started complaining. Oh, our feet hurt, whatever. So understand, you have the koach to run away from Har Sinai. You don't have the koach to run to Eretz Yisrael. That's inconsistency. Those two sins have to be separated. Shouldn't be inconsistent. What are they separated with? Upside down nuns. You lost your consistency, your faithfulness. You're not faithful. You're not Naaman. You're inconsistent. Here you can run. Here you can't run. To run away from Har Sinai, you have the power. To run to Eretz Yisrael, you don't have the power. That's the idea.